Hello, Blazers. Welcome to episode 119 of UAB Green and Told, originally released Monday, March 11th, 2024. This podcast gives us a chance to share stories from members of the UAB community. Looking to find past episodes? Look us up at alumni.uab.edu/greenandtold on Spotify or the Apple Podcast app. And while you're there, leave a written review so more alums can listen in. I'm Greg Berry, a UAB alum and Director of Communications in the Office of Alumni Affairs. For many future medical practitioners, something calls them to medicine. The reasons vary person to person, doc to doc. As we'll learn from today's guest, Caroline Davies, her journey originally started in biomedicine before taking a pivot to patients.
I got to see what it was like with patient interactions. I fell in love with anatomy, and it kind of all came together as more leading me towards medicine than just technology.
And Caroline will share how some of her most stressed out moments in life led to a project that is now benefiting all students at UAB.
And I remember getting frustrated when I was in lab trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to study this at home? How am I going to take what I'm learning in lab and learn it online?
And now she's living in a world in which she'll be able to put her own project into practice as a student, and the success of her creation has her floored.
We were very shocked by it, and we're happy to have it. I'm very interested to see how it will go next year with me being in the class, you know, how much more we'll be able to do with it and promote it and try to see, you know, get students' feedback, because we want to constantly receive that feedback to see how much we can enhance it.
Imagine working on a tool that allows you to understand our body's complexity. You develop seemingly innumerable slides and problems as a study hub. Now imagine going to a class as a student and using that tool in real-world applications in a classroom environment. For Caroline Davies, that moment is coming. But before she shares what went into that incredible endeavor, we need to know more about Caroline and why she chose to go to the University of Texas after graduating from Mountain Brook High School.
I really love school, and I thought the environment here in Alabama was really great, but I was really excited to, you know, get out and, you know, move away from Alabama for a little bit. And so I think I was also very curious as a child. And when I was going to apply to colleges, I really factored that in. So that was one of the reasons that I wanted to explore and go to like the University of Texas at Austin to do have a change.
And you went to the University of Texas, a big mammoth school, one of the largest in the country. What was it like as an undergrad there?
Yeah, it was a fantastic school. The transition was hard at first because, you know, it's mostly in-state residents, but soon, you know, once you get involved in extracurriculars you're passionate about, it becomes a little bit easier for the transition. I really overall enjoyed it. I think it provides you incredible opportunities. I think the atmosphere is very great down there. You know, you have your football that a lot of people, you know, factor when they go to Alabama, but you also have other kind of diverse activities and organizations they have there.
Ultimately, you chose to come home and back to UAB. Was it with med school in mind that you enrolled in the master's program, or what was the end goal at the time when you were earning your degree in anatomical science?
Yes, absolutely. So I came back with the mindset that I had heard that a master's in biomedical health science was a great program they have here at UAB. So the first year I actually did that program. And what it does, it goes through different medical school simulated courses where we do the physiology and anatomy. And during that year, I was really exposed to how great UAB was and exposed to anatomy and fell in love with it. And I had one more year I was going to be taking off. And so when I had loved anatomy, I talked to the anatomist. They had told me about the master's anatomical science program, which was different from my first master's in that this one was a pedagogic research degree. So you have a lot of teaching involved as well as research projects. And that's what kind of got me, that led me to do the master's of anatomical science. And it was fantastic. I think the program is very unique and has a vast amount of opportunities and very independent in some ways as well. Like you can have a say in like what courses you teach, what you really are interested in. You get a broad education during the first semester, but the second semester is really up to you and what you want to make of it.
My daughter is in PT school and she is studying the body. You did something really cool to help students grasp those complex structures of the body and some other cool projects that we'll get into. What went into that thought process? Was it something that you're like, okay, you know, this is something that can really help me study, so I want to develop it for others?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. One of the biggest things I saw, especially with myself with learning neuroanatomy, is that how difficult it was and how little resources were available. The biggest thing about the brain is that it is so 3D and complex, and you can be tested in anatomy lab during your practicals on any kind of slice from any different viewpoint. And that was just very difficult to learn. I remember getting frustrated when I was in lab trying to figure out, how am I going to study this at home? How am I going to take what I'm learning in lab and learn it online when I don't physically have the brains, to be able to look through them at outside of school? And so what I did was I looked online, saw what resource they currently had. They had a few out there that had some slices and sections of the brain, but not comprehensive. And so during my master's data called time science program, we get to do a research project for a year. And so I had approached one of my professors, who is an amazing mentor, Dr. Inga Kadish. And she, I had told her about how we have plastinated brain sections in the lab, which is plastinated is a very like highly preserved way to sorry, for a highly preserved way to embalm anatomy structures. And so they're real human braids, but however we had gotten them from Van Hagen, meaning we could take images of them if we got permission from the school. And so I wanted to be able to take images and upload them and make kind of, an app integrate interactive application or software where students could look at all these structures and the ways they're going to be tested on, have definition, as well as take practical exams. And I just wanted to make sure they would be able to take this home as well as use it in the lab. So another reason that we wanted to make this too is because we have a huge anatomy shortage going on. So when you're in neuroanatomy lab, there's about a few instructors for, 50 plus students. And so you have to take what you can get when the anatomist comes around and tells you and goes through some of the anatomy structure, and then it's pretty independently led after that. And that's something, every medical school and every professional school struggles with. So I wanted an app that not only students could use at home, but they could use while in anatomy lab to be reviewing with each other, to promote teamwork and, student-led teaching. And that was like my biggest goal for it. We had no idea it was going to get as far as it did or work as well. It took a lot of YouTubing to figure out how to do all the action buttons and everything, but we were really excited about it and excited to see, what we can continue to make moving forward.
Along the process with that project, how much did you learn about yourself?
Oh, I learned a lot. I mean, I loved doing the project. It was so much fun. I think at first, I come into it, loved a lot of the anatomy structures in the body, but the brain was kind of more difficult to me. And now, I've kind of fallen in love with neuroanatomy. I absolutely loved it. And I think as well, a lot of patience it takes to individually select each of the buttons and have them go to have an action setting to go to the page they need to. So that took a lot of patience, but I really liked it. I think it's really fun. I kind of love building things from the ground up. If I'm ever going to work on one in the future, I wouldn't want to make a model or a preset template. I like building it from the ground up. I think it's more efficient as well as less room for error.
As you're working on this project, which includes 1,500 slides, by the way, which is just insane, did you ever think that it would have a real-world application for students at UAB? And as a follow-up, is this something that has been used elsewhere?
Yeah, when we were making it, we first were initially thinking, this would be great for the medical curriculum because we were basing it off their anatomy list that they have of structures they have to be able to identify. And I didn't know how it was going to go. I was making this before I even started med school, but I had friends in med school as well as just other peers who were telling me, they would really like something like this. So we really had no idea how it was going to be put in use. And we ended up having about like an 80 to 85% download rate for the medical students, which is great. And then we just recently had neuro and dental, I mean, sorry, optometry and dental neuro labs, and they were using it as well and found it great. So we really didn't know what to expect. And so we were surprised by that. And then currently, we've been working with the Herb Biddle Institute for Innovation at UAB, and we have a patent on it. And we're working with them, to try to integrate it into other places. Specifically, there's one AAA, which is the American Association of Anatomy, who just released a neuroanatomy global network for teachers. It is, protected password-wise for only instructors and faculty members who are teaching anatomy around the world, and you can upload your resources. So I'm currently talking to the innovation team here at UAB to see if we can have that happen in order to, get it out there for more students to use.
From the day you brought it to that professor, you couldn't have imagined it taking off like this.
Oh, not at all. No, we had no idea it was going to take off like this. And honestly, a big part of my success is my professor believing me. You know, most professors, if you say you want to do something like this, they'll say, okay, you know, go for it. You know, they have no idea what it will come out of it. But having her believe with me and really work with me to help make it, you know, visually appealing and make sure the structures are labeled in the best way possible. She's just an incredible teacher and mentor. And so she's a really big reason for the success of this project.
And it debuted in 2023, in the spring semester. And then you just kept adding to it. I believe last summer in 2023, you added an MRI component to the tool. You saw a need and you just wanted to meet it at that point.
Yeah, that's what ended up happening. So we had previous year, we had dental and optometry, neuroanatomy lab, and they happened during January. And we had test run the Viva tool then. And later on, you know, we had wanted to add some MRI imaging because that's something students really struggle with. And so we had met with Dr. Vishner, who works at the Civitan Research Institution here, and she had helped us get access to MRI images and add it in. And since we'd already been working on the project before, we knew kind of a little bit faster to be able to integrate it in, since we knew how we wanted to build it. But the biggest thing we wanted for students was to be able to flip back and forth from the MRI mode to the anatomical structures. And so we really enjoyed that, and we're really thankful for Dr. Vishner to allow us to be able to do this, because it's really helped, you know, with students and learning, able to integrate the images they'll be seeing during their clinical years.
Throughout this whole process, you're also applying to medical schools, I imagine, and you wind up returning to UAB after receiving those masters. Why UAB at that point?
I think for me, the biggest thing, you know, I had interviewed other places. I loved, you know, I honestly like loved the idea of going somewhere different and learning from a new institution, but I had really started to build like a basic foundation for myself here, like connection-wise, as well as I love the faculty here. I think if I were to go somewhere else, it would have been also a great experience, but there was something about staying here and being able to, you know, continue building what me and Dr. Keisha are trying to do, you know, make more resources, as well as just continue to be involved in anatomy. If I were to have gone somewhere else, you know, I wouldn't have been able to help with students this year, even in lab. You know, I would have to have like applied for tutoring or go through a bunch more hoops versus here. You know, the professors know me and allow me to come in and help with other students in lab, which is something I'm very passionate about. So that was a very big factor. And then also UAB is just a fantastic medical school. It's one of the best in the nations, and really grateful our state of Alabama has access to it.
One of the coolest things I think about all of this that you've done with the project is that it's now part of the second year medical student program. The tool was integrated into the program. Were you shocked when that happened?
I was pretty shocked. I knew that one of the professors who doesn't work here anymore but was fantastic was Dr. Lester. He had just retired, but he worked with me that semester helping build it, and he was the module director. And we had talked about, you know, the potential of being able to integrate it and how it was helping his current undergrad course that he was working with as well. And so we were very shocked by it, and we're happy it happened. I'm very interested to see how it will go next year with me being in the class, you know, how much more we'll be able to do with it and promote it and try to see, you know, get students' feedback, because we want to constantly receive that feedback to see how much we can enhance it.
Have any of the second year said anything to you? Have they approached you about this? Do they even know that you're behind this?
I think they do. We have our images, me and Dr. Kadish, on the first page, but I have a few friends in that class, and they said it was great and they loved using it, which is so much fun to hear. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that like people knew about it, to have access to it, because one of the biggest things, you know, is just that people can be successful in that practical exam, because every kind of health profession student is in so much courses. You're in information overload during the semester, and that practical exam is somewhere that can be very difficult for students. And so we really just wanted to make it as a tool they could use at home to, you know, enhance their learning and make it easier for them transitioning, you know, from the classroom to the NAMI lab.
And about a year ago, you and Dr. Kadisha launched the Virtual Anatomy Lab. This provides a resource for the entire campus community. What is the Virtual Anatomy Lab? What does it do for students? How does it help?
We have all these in-house resources here that our professors have made, and we are making this other tool. You know, why not try to make something ourselves? And so we had talked to the Self-Integrative Development and Biology department that's under the Hastings School of Medicine about potentially building a website, and they said they were interested and we could do it through the SharePoint platform. So the biggest thing for us is we wanted to make sure it had both in-house and outside resources, which is similar to the Blue Link and the Texas Tech. And so that's kind of really how that got started. And that was a super fun project because I love building kind of the creation and doing the, you know, graphics behind it. I think that's super fun to make it, you know, not only aesthetically pleasing, but also very informative. And I think the anatomists here, you know, are so amazing. They need to be like shown to the school, you know, how much they do for us and just be advertised more. They're just such a great group of people. They're so knowledgeable. And so that was like what the thought was behind creating the website.
It's just amazing everything that you've accomplished over the last few years. You've truly left your mark on UAB, and you haven't even gotten through medical school. It's just insane to think about. Do you ever reflect on that?
I'm really just grateful for the opportunity. I can't believe what's happened in the past year. Like I said before, I think the biggest reason is because of the mentors. I reflect all the time, you know, how meeting Dr. Kadish was very transformative for my career. And I don't know where I'm going to end up going after med school or what I'll be interested in, but I think that this past year would have been really impactful and really just helpful for my future career. So I really just have to thank her and the other anatomists who made all this possible, because it made me, you know, more confident as a student and, you know, more understanding of, you know, hard work can pay off and you can really get anywhere, you know, when you put the effort in and you meet people and you especially if you really want to help people. So with the students and everything, that's a big passion of mine. So that makes it even more fun if you do something you're passionate about.
It kind of sounds like there might be a teacher, a professor down the road in that.
I think so. I don't know yet, but I really love it. There's nothing I love more than teaching in lab. And so I'm hoping to definitely try to stay at an academic institution in the future because I really do love it.
How has your educational perspective changed ever since, you know, going to high school at Mountain Brook, UT Austin, and then master's and now medical school? What has that progression been like?
I think I really developed more of an understanding and appreciation for the other side of things. You know, we'll come into classes sometimes, students are, especially in medical school and all the other health professional schools here, you know, you're in your most stressed out time of your life, it feels like in the moment. And you might not be as appreciative sometimes, or you may, you know, question, you know, the reason we're doing everything. But now that I've seen, you know, when we've had to take the pedagogic courses last year, and I'm currently serving on the medical education committee here, you know, how much goes into building a curriculum for students and how much teachers put into our futures. And it's incredible. It's also really mind-blowing to me how many steps and requirements there are just to implement one extra thing, just to change one thing of our curriculum, or one, let's say if we had a case study moves another day, you know, how much goes into just that movement. It's really mind-blowing. I have much more of an appreciation for it. And I think right now with what UAB Hearsing's doing, School of Medicine, with the active learning is pretty incredible. And we're really, you know, moving towards a change to more active learning and having more interaction with our peers, as well as in the hospital at earlier times in our preclinical. So I think overall, just an appreciation and understanding of how much work goes into creating the curriculum.
Have you always wanted to be a doctor?
I don't know if I wanted to be one for probably the most part. I think, you know, I always was interested in medicine. I think that I always loved innovation. That's a big part of my undergrad time, was working with the innovation program there, and I really loved it. So, you know, I could have seen myself in biotech sales at probably one point, but I really think what changed, you know, was, you know, to volunteering experiences. I got to see what it was like with patient interactions. I fell in love with anatomy, and it kind of all came together as more leading me towards medicine than just technology. But I think that's kind of what for me. I would say it was always, though, because there's definitely times where I've, you know, not been undecisive and everything. But for definitely the past 5 or 6 years, I've really just wanted to go into medicine. I'm so grateful to be here.
Being in a professional school is kind of like having a full-time job. It really, really is. What's the other differences maybe between earning a master's, even undergraduate, that people don't realize about schools of medicine, places like that?
Yeah, so the course load is very different. I will say, you know, we're now, especially with step one, moving to pass fail and more emphasis on step two, it's a little more difficult because, you know, you're in class, but you're also in a ton of extracurriculars. And they often say, you know, it's like you're being information overload every day. And it is very true. You're learning at such a fast pace and you have to figure out the way you learn. And I think my biggest advice to anyone who's currently a pre-med and doesn't, and they don't know if they want to go into med school straight from undergrad, take a gap year or two. Taking a gap year was fantastic for me. And I really would suggest to anyone, because, you know, you get to understand more about how you learn and how you want to approach information, how you best conceptualize and really like deeply understand why, like a long time learning, because you will be a lifelong learner in medical school, that is for sure. And so I think it gets harder, but if you keep working at it, you get better at it. And so it's kind of linear in that way. And I really appreciated my time at my master's. And I think they really prepared me for school, but by no means is it easy or anything. It's very difficult. No amount of preparation will prepare you for it. But I definitely think it was a great time.
Even though you grew up in Birmingham and you drove by UAB, I imagine, countless times, what surprised you about UAB after you got here?
I think the biggest part is, you know, you hear how great of a hospital it is all the time in Alabama, but you have no idea the resources that are available when you come here. There are so many places in Alabama who have little access to resources, little access to, you know, healthcare. And we are so lucky to be here. You can email any physician right now, especially at the medical school, you know, and get shadowing. There's tons of research opportunities. I mean, UAB is at the forefront of change right now, and especially like in the Southeast, it's just mind-boggling. I had no idea what it really meant to, you know, be a part of a state that had UAB and had a hospital like UAB. So I've just really been blown away by the resources, and the community is really great.
Going back to VIBA, the Virtual Interactive Brain Atlas, is this something that's going to continue to evolve?
Yeah, I'm currently working right now with the Division of Neurosurgery and Neurology and Neuropathology, and we're going to create one for a pathology version. And so we're hoping to implement that into the fall of next year, and it's going to be consisting of all the pathology with images and hopefully histological images as well. And that's something that we just started working on so the past few months. And so we'll see how it goes. I'm really looking forward to it, though. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have mentors who were willing to, you know, participate in the creation of this and help me through it.
How do you balance your studies with that?
It's hard at times. I think the biggest thing, you know, is you have to have set times to get your studies done, and, you know, also take advantage of the break. So over Christmas break, you know, you still need to relax and rest, but you also, that's kind of time that I can get a lot done. And so I take advantage of that, take advantage of the extra time we have. Definitely just, you have to be able to plan. You have to have days. I know for me, the mornings are when I study and the afternoons are more when I work on, you know, projects and research, as well as they give you a summer to work on research after your first year. So I'm really grateful for that, but it's difficult. But I think having more things on my plate makes me work harder and get things done in a quicker time frame, you know, and be more efficient.
Is it going to be surreal the first time you're a second year using your own platform?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so. And I think it'll help me realize too, you know, some things that we need to figure out and enhance from it that could be changed and made better. So I'm really excited by that.
That's Caroline Davies. In 2022, Caroline earned a master's degree in biomedical and health sciences from the School of Health Professions, followed by a master of science in anatomical science from the Hirsing School of Medicine in 2023. Still only midway through her first year of medical school at UAB, Caroline has left her mark on the campus community and has a great idea of what it means to be a Blazer.
For me, I wanted so badly to get into medical school. I wanted so badly for so long to be a part of UAB, and taking on, you know, the past few masters, I grew to love it. And now in the medical school, I'm overwhelmed with just being grateful and appreciative. And to me, it means that you have an opportunity to really do something great and to serve the state you're from, you know, the state of Alabama. And we have all the resources we need here at the School of Medicine to be able to do that and become, you know, really great, compassionate doctors who want to make a change and who want to, like, help, you know, lessen the bridge of healthier access people have too. So I think it's just incredible. And, you know, we'll be at conferences away, and we were in Washington, D.C. last year at anatomy conference. You know, people know the name of School of UAB, and that's just, it's amazing. It's an incredible opportunity to be here. And it's just, it's a great hospital. I think over the years, you know, there'll be even more of appreciation every year I do, because it's just, it's fantastic.
Be sure to check out past episodes of the UAB Green and Told podcast. Listen in at alumni.uab.edu/greenandtold. Have a story to share or know someone who does? Email greenandtold@uab.edu. Finally, be sure to follow us on social media. Just search UAB Alumni on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks for listening, and until next time, go Blazers!